right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are getting into Madame Web. I am so excited to talk about this one. I had such a fun time with this ridiculous, dumb movie. That's quite a way to start this conversation out, but I had such a great time with it. And joining me to talk about it, we've got Lexi Van Dyke from Schooled by Cinema. She's been on a bunch of other podcasts talking about this movie, and so I thought she would be a great guest to get on and talk about just what makes this one tick. So yeah, we'll get into that in a second. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening right now. Click that subscribe or follow button, and make sure you're checking out all the new episodes as they come, because we've got a lot of podcasts on the way. You could also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show if you want to stay up to date on everything that we are up to. So with that said, let's get to this conversation about Madame Web. All right, I am so excited to talk about Madame Web. Joining me today, Lexi Van Dyke is here. Lexi, thank you so much for being here.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to talk about this movie for the third time.
I needed an expert on this one, and you know, I'm so glad I got one. I found one. It's amazing. I scoured the internet. I went to the Amazon. I found an expert. Yeah, this is going to be so much fun. Lexi, before we get into the movie, though, it is your first time on Piecing It Together. Tell my listeners a little about you and what you do.
Yeah, so I am a film appreciator, I guess I would say. Some people call me critic. I'm not really a critic because I feel like I don't have the tools to criticize things, I guess, on that
fair
level.
Enough.
But I just appreciate film. I appreciate art in all types of ways. I have my own podcast called Schooled by Cinema, which is where we break down different parts of the filmmaking process. I have done cinematography and screenwriting so far. The next one is going to be animation. So I'm very excited about that. So yeah. That's a little bit about me.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm actually working on an animated project myself right
now. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about that later.
We'll have to talk off mic a little bit about some of that stuff. But yeah, so I am so glad to be talking about Madame Web because we had talked about this a little bit beforehand, but I am a great appreciator of how ridiculous this movie is. And I could not just let this one slide at first. I had people lined up and they watched the movie and then they were like, by the way, that was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
So like, okay, I guess I'll find someone else. No problem. But then I heard you on another podcast talking about it. As you said, this is your third time talking about this.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm going to reach out to Lexi and see if maybe she'd be interested in adding another piece of Madame Web content to her name. What's your history with Madame Web? Was this a movie you were like actually looking forward to when it came out?
Not particularly. I'm not really a comic book person. I just kind of got caught up in it as everything started, and now things are kind of waning in the whole process. And so this like a lot of the other, you know, superhero movies that have been coming out recently kind of feels like an afterthought. And I think that's kind of what makes it interesting. It is this kind of definitive point where it's kind of like the Titanic when the boat breaks. That's Madame Web in this whole giant scheme of like superhero movies.
Yeah, absolutely. When that one guy falls and hits the table, that's this movie. I'm with you. I'm also not a big superhero person. But somewhere in that like last week, like of course we already had like the memes around like the researching spiders and all that, but like somewhere around the last week of the press tour, right before the film hit theaters, it became clear that Dakota Johnson was just not interested in really promoting this movie. It was right before the movie actually came out, and that's when it just clicked, like, oh wow, this movie might actually be a lot of fun. And then I went and watched it and I was like, hell yeah, this is camp, basically. This is maybe not intentional, but I like to believe it is intentional because like it's too crazy and messy to not be. Like, you know, a lot of these things, we're recording this now 3 weeks, I think, after it hit theaters. A lot of these things have been talked about a lot already. You have talked about them a lot already. But, you know, some of these choices are just so just out there and misguided, I guess, to a point where it's like, how could they not have known what they were doing? But then again, probably not. Where do you fall on, like, the camp versus not camp of this movie?
Well, I think I've actually started reading, like, Susan Sontag's books of essays on, and she talks about camp, but I haven't gotten to that yet, but I'm very excited to get to that. But I think the idea of camp, generally, it seems to be, it's something that's unintentional, right? It's something that just happens to happen in an earnest way, but because it's so earnest and it kind of ends up missing the mark.
Yeah.
So that is kind of, I think, what happened here. I think there was like so much intentionality in making this like, we are going to make a female-led superhero movie and we have to make another Sony movie so our copyright doesn't expire. So let's make this happen.
Yeah, we gotta do it. This is important. This is important cinema here. That's true. Like, as far as camp is concerned, like, if you're aiming for it, you're missing the mark immediately. And, so it's a very complicated thing that I think this character and Dakota Johnson's performance really just reins it all into midnight movie status, I think, going forward. But we'll get into, you know, what we think along the way. Let's start getting into some puzzle pieces because I got a few here. But what do you got for your first puzzle piece?
Well, the first one, it might be kind of obvious, but I think it's very essential to this film. I would have to say it's Crossroads.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing. I hadn't even thought of that, and I love it already. Please continue. Let me hear more about Crossroads.
Because first of all, because Britney Spears' Toxic plays a pivotal role in this movie. And it is also a film about these girls getting together, going somewhere, which is kind of most of the plot of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all running in a car and going different places, and that's definitely, 50% of the plot of Crossroads is them just moving from place to place.
Absolutely. You know, like, a lot has been made of the fact that the women are not even, like, in their spider costumes until the very last minute of the movie, basically, except for a few, like, flash forwards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we were to get a sequel, which we never, ever, ever will, but if we were, like, then we'd finally be there and we'd get to start. I'd rather just see them on another Crossroads-style road trip adventure because that's, you know, that's where the magic happens. So, but yeah, you're right. Britney Spears is definitely central to this. You know what? I'm going to just jump right in with my first puzzle piece here because I think it fits right in with that era of female-led films from those years. I'm going to go with the notorious Lindsay Lohan flop, I Know Who Killed Me.
Wow. Is
just pure nonsense. It's so bad and is a movie that can definitely be enjoyed in, I think, the kind of level that a lot of people are enjoying Madam Web, but does center around somebody who claims to know how they're going to die. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the plot starts unraveling in all kinds of directions that it's kind of like a mess. And you don't really know exactly where any of it's going to go. As far as this movie, Madam Web, is concerned, this is a little bit more towards our villain, Ezekiel Sims, who that is his whole trajectory, that he knows how he's going to die. So he's going to put a stop to it. But it's also, everybody thinks, Cassandra Webb, Madam Web, is, you know, nuts because she thinks that she can see the future. So it kind of is taking Lindsay Lohan's whole thing and putting it on both the villain and the hero of this superhero movie.
Yes.
And throw that all in a bottle and mix it up and shake well. And yeah, that's what you get.
Well, you're making me want to rewatch that movie. I don't think I've seen it since like college. It's been so long, but that was like very much in the, like, I'm trying to grow up, which is so, it's interesting because Sydney Sweeney is kind of in that role right now, even though she was in a very adult show in Euphoria, but she's still like kind of trying to grow up.
Yeah.
But yet she's playing a teenager in this movie. It's like a weird, like, she's in like such a weird trajectory.
I was actually thinking about that because, like, her character, what is she supposed to be, like 15 or 16.
Somewhere around there.
It's bizarre. It's very weird casting. And I mean, I like Sydney Sweeney. I think she's a good actress. I think that she'll get a chance to really prove herself. But like, yeah, it's a really weird choice to have someone who's already kind of, you know, I mean, this is probably delayed and whatnot. Who knows? But like for her to be playing that age is very strange, which just adds to the weirdness.
Because I remember her getting announced like 2 years ago. I don't know how old she is, but I think she's in her later 20s.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Which I know it's like not anything new for a 20-year-old person to be playing high school, but like she's very much coming out of the high school mode and then to go back into it, especially because the other two actresses I think are younger. I think they're in their early 20s.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I know she's that like the she's just name sister. Value. Yes. She's just name value for sure.
Well, and speaking of name value, before we go to your next puzzle piece, this is something I've been wanting to like bring up here because I remember very clearly when this movie was announced. It was announced as Sydney Sweeney's superhero movie.
Yes.
And here she is as like a damsel in distress, kind of that, like, as we said, doesn't get a suit until the very end of the movie. She is not the superhero character. And clearly it's, you know, Dakota Johnson is Madame Web. Like, it's just so weird that that's how I was seeing it promoted when it first was announced.
Well, I think it kind of became this thing where Dakota Johnson became more of a name as the filming process went on. And so she kind of took the top billing, and obviously she's the main lead character. So I think that's kind of what happened like throughout this whole process. Sydney Sweeney has kind of been a name since Euphoria has started.
Sure.
So, I mean, people know who Dakota Johnson was, but she's mainly been in a lot of indie stuff except for 50 Shades of Grey. Like that's like her other, you know, money in the bank.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to your next puzzle piece. What do you got next?
So I'm going to go with 2005's Fantastic Four.
All right.
Do you remember this one? The original one?
I actually never saw it. I know, obviously, it's reputation, but I've never seen it.
Okay. So it's definitely worth a watch. It's in that whole zone of like the Daredevil, Elektra, like kind of trying to get their footing in the door of how this is all gonna work. So they just give every character like their own movie. And so that movie is, I think if you, I have wanted to watch it recently. I just haven't had a chance to, but it's like very like green screen heavy. Like obviously they're like, Dr. Fantastic, right, is the main guy, and he stretches, and so the effects aren't so great. And then you also have Jessica Alba and like this horrible blonde dye job.
Oh yeah, I remember.
It's pretty awful. So it's just like that whole level of I don't know, like effects and everything in this movie. Like, because I think they don't really use a ton of effects until the end, and the end just looks so bad. I'm just like, what? I don't understand what happened here.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying at the beginning of this conversation, like we are in this kind of downturn of the superhero dominance that we've seen for like the last decade, 15 years, really. And it does feel like this and a couple of the other like big superhero misses that we've seen over the last couple of years are starting to feel like that era again of Fantastic Four and Elektra and Catwoman and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, it is like we're reverting back to that moment in superhero movie time. And
it's like this not a good clamoring thing to like try and make it semi-relevant, you know?
Yeah, it is. They're trying really hard. And I think part of it is that they're out of the interesting characters, but they don't quite want to reboot, you know, like, so I don't know. It's tough. And of course, Marvel is rebooting Fantastic Four.
Yes,
so
they are for like the third time. I mean, they reboot everything. Like I'm fine with it. Go ahead. I just want something. I don't want it to be the same. Like, oh, there's a bad guy. Oh, we got to find something. Oh, we got to like, it's just like the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going to go with one of my favorite things about Madame Web as a ridiculous movie. And I'm going to go for a puzzle piece with Michael Bay's Ambulance from a couple years ago, which is such a fun, over-the-top, insane action movie. But once Cassandra Webb, Madam Webb, once she steals this ambulance and starts driving around with it, she has that ambulance for the rest of this movie and never has to get rid of it or give it up. She flies to Peru at one point and comes back and picks up her ambulance and she's back in the ambulance again. Michael Bay's ambulance takes place in an ambulance the whole movie. And there's a reason for that in that movie, but here there is no real reason for it. She just has that ambulance from there on out. I mean, she is an EMT, but still, she doesn't need to be driving an ambulance the whole time. I love that about this movie. It's just part of the ridiculousness that makes it so much fun.
Yeah, it's her just grabbing different, like, vehicles, like a taxi, like different New York vehicles, and just, like, hijacking them and running away. That is, like, now that you bring that up, that is, like, seriously the funniest part, and the part that stuck in my brain the most is the idea that she just, like, leaves these girls and flies to Peru, even though the villain has eyes on her everywhere she goes. So I don't understand how exactly that works, but you know, yeah. Whatever. Movie logic.
Yeah. Yeah. Movie logic. Bad movie logic. Yeah. What do you have for your next piece?
So to go back to the, like, the tech part of it, I was going to say the net.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Because, Zsozsa Mamet plays
amazing.
Plays the kind of computer nerd, computer hacker for the villain in this movie, which is like her and I brought this up, but her and Emma Roberts like really threw me when they ended up being in this movie because I was just like, huh? What? Like, yeah. I had no idea they're in this movie. I feel like they didn't promote it at all. They weren't at anything. They're like, I did a week on this movie and I'm never going to think about it ever again.
Yeah, especially Zsozsa Mamet. Yeah. She, like, I don't even know. She might have filmed that at home. Like,
absolutely. They're like, hey, can you set up the computers in my basement and, like, yeah. send me a video camera and I could just do it myself?
I loved every scene with her and the villain, which we haven't even, like, really talked about him much, yes. Tahar Rahim. Yes. The way that he is ADR'd the whole movie is just so funny. And to watch her and him interact, it's just like, what is happening with these sequences? They're just so good. I'll just throw in right on top of the net. I'm going to go Terminator 2 because that goes right in with that. I mean, this unstoppable villain who impersonates police and uses security systems to constantly be able to tell where the good guys are and stalk them at all times. You combine Terminator 2 and the net, which, by the way, both very, you know, obviously in the 90s, but this movie has a very 90s sense of, like, oh, they're going to be able to track you with computers. Yes. Like, it's very dated in that sense.
Yeah, well, supposedly the original script was set in the 90s.
That makes a lot of sense if that's the case.
And they moved it up so that it would hit the same timeline that Tom Holland would be born, or his Peter Parker, I guess I should say, would be born.
Right, which, as we know, that is happening kind of, sort of, at the name reveal at the birthday party or whatever.
Yes.
Or not a birthday party. What do you call that?
Baby shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my favorite scene in the movie, as I've said before, because... So maybe we should talk about Dakota Johnson just a little bit as we're getting into this. Are you familiar with her work? Have you seen her in other things?
I mean, I love her in Suspiria. I thought she was great in that. I really like the Peanut Butter Falcon.
I haven't seen that one.
She's really good in that. Yeah, I mean, I'd say those are, like, kind of the two standouts of things that I've seen her in.
Yeah. So she was a long time ago on this TV show with Nat Faxon called Ben and Kate. I don't know if you ever heard of this show.
I haven't seen that, no.
But it's really funny, and they play brother and sister, and they have really good comedic chemistry. And so she's very naturally has that funny, you know, part of her that comes out, which is so interesting because her parents aren't particularly funny. Although I guess her mom is kind of known for being funny and like Working Girl and stuff like that.
Sure.
But she has this very like dry sense of humor. But I have seen her in The Lost Daughter, which is Maggie Gyllenhaal's film, which she's really great in. I saw her in, I think it's called Is it Cha-Cha Real Smooth?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cha-Cha Real Smooth. She's good in that.
Yeah, yeah, I like her in that. I absolutely hate that movie.
It's Sundance stuff, you know.
But she's just like, and then like the 50 Shades of Grey, which I think I watched the first one. And she has this way of like using her like ability to observe things and like kind of be like this fly on the wall and like throw out little like observations or stuff like that that really works for her in those kinds of movies. And she's just honestly like not quite right for something like this, but I do appreciate her kind of giving it her all to go with the mode of the movie. I don't think she's bad at it.
Right, right. Well, I was going to say, like, I she's not right for a superhero movie.
No.
Like, she clearly doesn't care, but also, I think she was perfect casting for this character because, like, I mean, this character is written as an EMT that straight up says, I don't care about people. Like,
yes.
And that is a kind of a Dakota Johnson, like, the way that, you know, like, that she, like, just stares at people during interviews and, like, kind of doesn't give them anything. Like, that's, like, something this character would do. So, yeah, I feel like she's perfect for it, but at the same time, that is a very strange protagonist to have in your superhero movie. It doesn't really work or make sense.
Because she's supposed to become into this, like, kind of psychic, you know, clairvoyant realm, which actually works for someone like her, where she kind of feels a little bit like an old soul. And like she feels like when she's looking at you, she's seeing right through you a little bit. I don't know if that's because she's like a Nepo baby or I don't know where that all comes from, but it actually kind of works. I think she's just lost in this script that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Right. Absolutely. Good. Well, let's go to another puzzle piece. What do you got next?
Okay. So I pick Southland Tales.
Oh boy. Amazing. That movie is wild.
It is. And it kind of, you know, a little bit of the, you know, seeing into the future kind of stuff. The like really affected acting that the people in that movie do, and the kind of over the top feeling that you get as they're absolutely committing to this wild concept. And I feel like sometimes with movies like that, it's like the magic is in the actors not really understanding what's happening, but yet they're still going for the fences.
Yeah.
And so it absolutely sells everything.
That is a movie that I know exactly what you're talking about, because everybody in that movie just feels like they're doing something different and like they're not on the same page. And that sometimes makes magic happen. Like
it does.
It's really hard to like put a finger on it. It doesn't always work out that way, but it does in that movie. And I feel like it does here, but you know. Speaking of telling the future, I'll go with probably the most obvious puzzle piece here. And that's Final Destination, that entire series.
I didn't think about that. That's a good one.
I mean, this is a Final Destination superhero movie, basically. Everybody is seeing the future and seeing what's about to happen and trying to avoid their deaths. And, you know, she sees her friends dying and tries to stop it from actually happening. But it's all meant to be and it's all going to happen. And obviously that's probably, you know, what, you know, the comics, like that's where this character goes. We know that she's like more of like a leader role or whatever to all these other spider women. But, yeah, I think that as far as like movies go, I think Final Destination is like a pretty similar approach to like that kind of seeing your destiny and trying to avoid it thing.
That's true. I didn't really think about that, but that is, I mean, that's really what they're running from the whole movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I will say, like, you know, as bad, quote unquote, and you know, ridiculous as this movie is, some of those sequences, as far as like, you know, a superhero movie and just lots of visual effects and just all over the place, like some of those sequences are put together kind of cool, like the train sequence, even though it's so like weird and choppy, and the way that it's put together, it like it does feel almost visceral in a way, and how she sees it and keeps seeing it change and keeps seeing it. It, like, it's an interesting superhero thing, and probably really hard to pull off in any kind of meaningful way. I feel like they do it as best as that would possibly be put together.
Yeah, I think the issue with this movie is it's kind of like a prequel to a prequel. And so they have to make momentum happen without making it happen too quickly. So they end up having to use different locations as a way to keep the characters doing something without actually, you know, moving the plot along and, like, quote unquote, like, not having the villain be able to find them.
Right, right. No.
So, yeah, that definitely works.
Well, that's actually going to factor into my last puzzle piece, but what do you have next?
So I picked 1984 Supergirl.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it in a really long time. I saw it when I was younger. But I just, it's like just this idea of a female led superhero. They're like, finally, like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Like, let's make this happen. Although they, I mean, I guess this is like kind of in the other realm a little bit, like the Spider-Man stuff, because it's not really DC, not really Marvel, or like all the rights are like kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like really a way for them to, put their mark on a female superhero in that universe. And so that's kind of what it reminded me of, Supergirl.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't even going to use it, but I mean, I might as well just throw it in on top of that Supergirl one, Birds of Prey. As far as, like, you want to do a female-led superhero movie, but it's got to be a team-up. Like, you can't just make a Harley Quinn film. You got to make the whole Birds of Prey team up movie. You can't just make a Madame Web film. You got to make this movie where all these other, you know, spider women happen too.
Well, when superheroes work the best, it's when they're bouncing off of other superheroes. So that's why you inevitably always have like these mashups happening. And that's why sometimes the best movies, like maybe besides the, you know, original Batman movies, some of the best movies that we've had come out of this genre or the team up ones, like even Loki on like Wonder Woman, the original Wonder Woman, is kind of like a team up movie with them and all the other characters and all the people who helped them. So it's just like it ends up working so much better when you have. Because otherwise they're just like, it's like Bruce Wayne, like alone in his tower. It's like, how fun is that to watch, you know, one guy doing one thing. So.
Yeah. Then you get like a Bloodshot or whatever, the Vin Diesel one. It's just him just killing everybody.
Absolutely.
Well, so my last puzzle piece is actually, so again, this is another thing that I actually do genuinely like about Madam Web, like, not on a so bad it's good or camp or any of that kind of level, but I was thinking about the Ant-Man films, which are my favorite of the MCU, and part of the reason is because they feel like actual movies.
Yes.
Even with all the growing and shrinking and, you know, all that kind of stuff, they're still in a city. They're still in tangible locations where things are actually happening.
Yeah.
And of course they threw all that out the window with the third one last year, which I don't even want to talk about that, but, those first two Ant-Man movies though are so much fun because they feel like actual action movies. And until that whole ridiculous fireworks fight at the end of Madam Web, everything else up until that point does have that same feeling of like, this is a real city and things are actually happening. And we don't see that in a lot of superhero movies lately, especially since the multiverse and the outer space stuff and all that kind of thing. It was refreshing, I think.
Yeah, I think this movie actually generally looks pretty good, except for the weird fight sequence at the end. Like, I would say generally, besides like the weird spiders in the Amazon and the fight at the end, like, it generally looks really good because they're not using a ton of CGI. I mean, I know they're using some CGI, but it's not ostensibly visible and like in your face. Every minute there's another fight sequence where you don't know what's going on. So, and she's not really an active superhero. She's very much a passive superhero.
Yeah. So. She drives cars into people, basically.
Exactly. That's her superpower, is being able to drive cars into people.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Well, do you have any other puzzle pieces you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that's the main one.
Cool.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to read down our list of pieces here, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts. We talked about Crossroads, I Know Who Killed Me, Fantastic Four, Ambulance, The Net, Terminator 2, Southland Tales, Final Destination, Supergirl, Birds of Prey, and Ant-Man, which is an all-timer list of puzzle pieces, honestly, just all over the place here. I kind of knew that's what was going to happen, but... Yeah, I don't know. Closing thoughts, anything that you wanted to mention that we didn't quite get into while going through the pieces?
I don't know. I really don't think it's truly as bad as people say are like claiming it is. Mm-hmm. I think when I was watching it, it felt like I feel like this is what people felt like when they were watching the musical Cats.
Yeah.
Because I did not see that in theaters. But I was just like, this is something that's going to be looked upon in, like, a weird, like, way as a marker of time and space and where we were at that time. Because Cats became that as a way to, like, mark the start of the pandemic almost. And this is going to be the mark of this, like, new era of film that we have and we're going into. And it also, like, shows how far we've come just in the last year, as you see, like, all the films that really were successful last year, not a ton of them were superhero movies.
No, not at all. No, I actually wrote down a list of superhero movies from last year that I actually genuinely, no exaggeration, liked Madam Web more than.
Okay, I want to hear this.
Ant-Man 3, Shazam 2, The Marvels, and The Flash.
Okay.
I think Madam Web, if anyone who thinks Madam Web is the worst superhero movie they've ever seen, those movies would put me to sleep over this. Like, you know?
And also, this movie is like an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, come on. that's a point right there. For sure.
I have not seen any of those except for The Marvels. I did not think The Marvels was that bad. In the grand scheme of thing.
Bad. Yeah.
But I understand appreciating Madam Web more than that movie. But I just, like, I had no energy to watch any of those movies. Because they're all long. I already know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's no interest to me in and trudging those waters.
You made the right decision, let me tell you. I think that does it. I mean, we didn't mention her holding the can of Pepsi. We didn't
mention,
are so many things. We could do a whole podcast of just moments of this movie. That's not what this show's about. But I think that does it for Madam Web. Lexi, is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Ooh, actually, I just watched Birth.
Oh, I've never seen that. That's actually on my watch list right now. I want to watch that.
Yeah, because it's on Criterion, because they have all of his stuff.
Yeah.
And I recently watched Under the Skin, and I was like, I need to watch a few of his. I mean, he only has like four or five films anyways.
Yeah.
So I watched Birth, and that is something you will definitely not be bored by, but make you think a little bit and maybe irk you out a little bit. But hey, you know, we go to the movies to feel, as Nicole Kidman says.
That is absolutely right. Yes, we do. Well, Lexi, tell people where they could find you and your podcast.
Yeah, so you can find me at all the places. My name is Stunning Gun with 2 G's. And then my podcast is Schooled by Cinema. You can find that at all the places. My next season's going to be dropping, I think the first week of April. It was going to be the last week of March, but I think I'm just going to start clean and just do the first week of April.
That works. Yeah. Fresh months are always good to start new podcasts.
Exactly. So. Well, thank you so much for having me on. This is really fun.
Thank you so much for being here. Hopefully we'll get you back again sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Madam Web. Thanks to Lexi for joining me on that one. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, of course, make sure you're subscribed wherever it is that you're listening. It would be very helpful if you hit that follow, subscribe button, maybe even drop us a little 5-star rating and review while you're at it. And that makes sure that more people get to check out what we are doing over here. You could also follow me on social media at PiecingPod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. We do have a Patreon as well, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and from my music career. So lots of great stuff over there. So check it out if you'd like to support the show. You can do that at patreon.com/bydavidrosen, and then you get all this access to all this great stuff. So check that out. And let's close this out with a piece of my music like we always do. And actually, I was trying to think, do I have anything that sounds like it would be something you would hear while you're in the Amazon researching spiders when your mom died? And I thought of this song, Warrior, from my last full-length album, More Content. And I think this would fit, so why not? Let's go with Warrior from More Content. There may be a music video on the way for this one, actually. It's a little overdue, but that's another story. We'll talk about that another time. But I hope you enjoy this track, Warrior. The album More Content is available wherever you listen to music. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.